right.
Thank you, thank you. What are we talking about?
I'm talking about you.
Me?
Virtual anyway. Summits.
Virtual summits, okay. Awesome.
Yeah, we got episode 150, so I got you back for the big one again.
Man, I cannot believe you have been this dedicated.
Yeah, me neither.
That is awesome.
That's a lot of episodes, right?
It's a lot of episodes. It's been, what, 2-3 years?
It's been longer. I don't put them out.
Right, that's true. You did take off one time, like 6 months.
Yeah, I think like 6 or 9 months. But people,
like, oh, I'm coming back.
Yeah, but people still ask me. And the funny thing is, even if I put an episode up after 3-4 months, I get the same downloads and start getting people like, hey, you're back. Like, okay.
That's cool. I mean, hey, that lets you know you're doing something right.
Doing something right, I think.
Or somewhat.
So, like, I've put my effort into my email list now, and that's growing every single week now, and I'm getting responses, people buying off of it. So I feel like that's where my focus is. And then putting my content on other people's podcasts. I've been doing 3 or 4 every single week.
So what, your guest being a guest?
Yeah, man. Like, if you look on the Google search just with my name, it's fucking all podcast episodes. Like the
brilliant.
4 or 5 pages, it's just podcast episodes. All
right, just podcast after podcast.
All right, let's start recording.
Go.
Actually, it is recording already.
Oh, well, there you go.
We got this.
Pre-roll.
Right. Yeah, so now everyone will know why I'm not really putting out as many. Because I'm guesting on other people's stuff, man. Like, I think after I do like 3-4 podcasts in a week, you know, and then have 3 or 4 calls with people trying to become clients, I'm done with talking. Okay. That's what I feel like.
Okay. So you're closing your own calls. That's awesome.
Yeah. The thing is, we've been trying to move away from clients a bit and into more productized service stuff and just productizing myself, right?
Really?
And
how does one productize themselves? Huh. To teach me how to do that.
Yeah. So that's what I'm working on. And the only way I feel I can get that done is by talking to my own clients when I'm closing them, just to figure out the pain points. And then,
right.
You know, even when we do work with clients, it's custom somewhat, but a lot of similarities, right? And we're trying to break those things out into such a way where someone can just click, add to cart, and buy now.
Right.
So if we have a big portion of people struggling with email sequences, for example, right? And I do get a lot of questions about that. How do I, you know, create the right email sequence for a course to market, blah, blah. Well, if I know enough about the pain points, what they're looking for, we can create the tiers. Like, I can productize myself, you know, get the knowledge in. Either you can get templates, and an audit, or we can do it for you, right? 3 different prices, easy to buy, right? So that's what we're trying to do now.
So templates and an audit are done for you.
Yeah.
Three levels.
Yeah. 3 levels. That's what we kind of, thought of, but that's why, talking to clients is key. Like, I feel most people struggling, and we're not struggling. So I'm doing this because I want to. They're struggling because they don't know their clients. Like, I know my clients and I still feel like I don't know them well enough. Like, I'd rather still talk with them instead of having some sales guy being like, hey, you know, that's what they said. I'm like,
Yeah, there's levels. There's levels to this.
Definitely levels. Yeah, so with you, I was kind of curious, right, with this virtual summit. To me, it's like an MLM, right, these virtual summits. Seriously, like, that's, like, yours was the only one out of 2 this year that I actually promoted at all, at all. It was the only one where I actually didn't get anything from it.
Wow.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I'm saying that in a way where I did not have a real play why I'm doing the summit whatsoever.
Right. Right.
I just did it for you. It's not like.
Absolutely.
You, yeah. It's not like you run a course platform and I did the virtual summit because I wanted to give something in exchange, maybe have some, you know, something. So with you, it was just like, I'll promote it. You know, I don't even know if I got anything afterwards. It didn't matter. It didn't matter.
We paid you millions of dollars,
you
bro.
You paid me nothing. You paid me nothing. This was one of those charity events. This was like...
Sure. Like the check I'm getting for this show.
Like the check you're getting for this show. It's a donation of my time. I'm going to take it out on my tax as a deductible.
Awesome.
You should do the same.
I can send you a receipt for the charity.
That's what I want. But yeah, I was curious, you know, other than COVID, right? Was that the only reason you actually ran this summit?
Was for, say it again?
Because of the COVID situation. Was that the only reason you ran this?
Not really. I've had it in my mind. Actually, so before in June, first week of June, I was planning on doing an in-person event here in Atlanta.
Right.
And I pulled the plug on that April because I just felt, you know, I was Mr. COVID during that time anyway, doing the, you know, COVID updates every day. And I just knew we were going to go into shutdown, or if nothing else, people were going to be like freaked out about travel. So I pulled the plug on it a little bit early. And then it was just like, you know, I guess at some point around maybe August, I got a friend of mine that kind of hit me up and was like, what are you going to do? You're going to do something? Let's do a summit. And I went ahead and said, yeah, I got an idea, and started doing the interviews, and then that's what it turned into.
Okay.
Yep.
Was it worth it?
It was worth my time. It was worth my effort. Was it what I expected? I would say it was a little short of the zeros.
A little short, huh?
It was a little short on the zeros.
You mind mentioning how much time and money you spent and sort of what the ROI is?
Sure. Well, here's the thing. Okay. And this is, let me unpack this. Because I've done summits a lot, right? When I say a lot, I've probably done, you know, half a dozen for myself. And the deal is, I've been very dependent on paid advertising. I got into this summit, particularly at the end, I was like, bring on a partner. So my friend, partner, he has a totally different model, which was the model, like you were saying, getting people on the summit that have an audience and then asking them to promote to their audience.
MLM.
Yeah, right. Okay, there you go, calling it the MLM. Okay, now I see why you call it MLM. Well, I wasn't very excited about that, but he was very persistent about, this is our model. This is what we do. We've got an audience. We've got, you know, these connections, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, long story short, that part did not pan out at all. So, and I'm not an MLM fan. I don't, and another thing is, I really don't like depending on people.
Yep, that's the one thing I've always said.
What
I see with virtual summits, and it's always that, give me an hour of your time, which is valuable, and then pitch to your list. I'm like, you got to be joking. Like I said, for you, I've done it, but anyone else that came up to me, I'm like, you know, why don't you go and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why in the world would I do that?
You know, and the funny thing is that I had a very, I had a really good plan for this one. And I really did abandon it at the end. And then, like, 2-3 weeks later, before, when the numbers were low, I went back to the old plan. But of course, you know, time limits. So it's like, damn, if I'd have had an extra 2 weeks, I could have did way more. You know what I'm saying? But initially, and when I came to you, I really had a unique ask. And the ask was, look, you do the event, You share it with your people, but I was going to build everybody a landing page of their own and have them totally featured out as, this is my time, come visit this hour. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, oh, by the way, there's other people you can listen to. And I thought that was very unique because I feel the same way you do. I get asked all the time to be on these things, and I'm like, eh. Yeah, you know, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be a bunch of people asking me, you know, did you send? Literally, this last one I did with somebody, they sent me 13 different emails.
About sending it to your audience.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Totally 13 different. And I'm like, bro, there's no way in hell I'm going to promote this that many times to my audience because you're going to burn your list.
Well,
you're going to get totally burned out.
It's not even that. Like when you see someone sending you 13 emails and you think about your audience, and I'm like, am I really going to send them into this? Because that's what they're going to get. They're going to get 50 emails within the first 2 months, buy something, you know, do something. Like there's not going to be much value.
Afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards, right? So as soon as you send people to this list and they're like, oh, John told me to check this out, and now I'm being spammed like crazy by these people.
Exactly. Yeah. So the whole process there, I'm not very, you know, into. So if you ask your people that came to my, you know, event, they'll tell you I haven't asked them for anything since then. You know, I'm not going to constantly keep following up with this audience that didn't do any or take any action, you know, and just start throwing them into different funnels and offers. That's just because I don't like that. You know,
yeah,
that's just and now if I got something of value, I'll send it out. But if it's just about getting a large list to start throwing offers at, that's just not my game. I'm not that well at that.
Yeah,
I hate it.
I mean, that's why I went on yours. But I just when I look at summits, that's why I feel like straight up pyramids, MLMs. Like that's what it seems like for the most part.
Okay. So, there's been some very one of the things that's happening right this minute is because of COVID, there's an overabundance of summits.
Yeah.
Right? Like everybody. And if it's not a summit, it's a conference. If it's not a conference, it's a mastermind. I mean, there's always something going on in, you know, this space now, whereas before people would have events, but they'd be live events and there would be no overlap. I literally, and I'm talking about three major, you know, if I said the names of them, you would be like, oh, I know these guys. Three major events on the same Monday morning last week, you know, and that just never would have happened. I wouldn't have been at, you know, these, they would have never scheduled these things on top of each other. Right. But nobody knows what the other persons are doing in this space right now because they're popping up so quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I have no idea what's happening with the summits. I mean, I'll get an email or two, but I actually put a rule in Gmail. The word summit goes straight into archive.
Well, see, but one thing is, I didn't call mine a summit.
No, you didn't. But I just don't know what's happening, man. On Twitter, I got summit muted, man. Just like COVID and Biden and Trump. They're all muted, man. I see nothing. It's a clean feed. I can't do it on Facebook yet, but I unfollowed so many people, I don't see it much anymore.
Yeah. That's cool. Go ahead.
So back to time spent, money spent, ROI.
Time spent, money spent. Okay. So what do you want to know? Time spent?
Just overall, man. Like,
gosh, let me think. Okay, so you just think about this. I ended up with, I think, 37 interviews. So that is easy, you know, 40 hours worth of work.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy. 40 hours sitting down, doing the interview. Then we had, I ended up doing the first edits. So it's like anything I didn't want and cut the end to end on those. But I didn't have to listen all the way through because I was sitting on them. So I pretty much knew it was there. So that probably ended up being probably another 10 to 15 hours of edits for me personally.
Okay. 55.
And yeah. And then you talk about, dude, I did the Facebook ads, ad management, and just the initial outreach to get people on. So you could probably throw another 15, 20 hours on that. Let's say 80 hours.
Mm.
Let's say 80 hours.
2 weeks of work.
2 weeks, two good weeks of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's fair.
And around how much money did you throw into it for the ads and things?
Like actual hard cost, or how much do I tell people that they are going to have to spend for me to do it for them?
just around, like, just interesting like to know about how much sense did this make for you, and just so people can have some numbers, like, sort of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what I'm giving out. Okay, got you. So you figure you're going to do about 80 hours worth of work to 100. So yeah. Say like that. You really need to spend at least $2,500 to $5,000 in ads.
Okay.
All right. To get a good number of people. We ended up with 3,000 of that. You're going to get 30% that'll show up. And then it's about the offer after that on whether or not they're going to take it and how you structure all your offers. So we had the simple early bird offer, and then we had the full priced offer, and then the post summit offer. And then there was I don't think there was an upsell on this. There was not an upsell. Mm. So it was just that straight base. And then we were going to come back and do a extra thing, but that our whole thing fell apart on that part.
Well, it happened. So how much did you make around on this summit?
Yeah, $25,000.
$25,000. How big was the list of yours starting out?
Oh, this is a list starting from zero.
From zero. And how many subscribers did you get at the end?
Like 3,000.
3,000. Okay. That's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad. So you talk about,
you walk away with, $25,000 and you got a list of $3,000.
It's not too bad. So the only other The only other friends I know who've done this, and they've done it way before COVID, they were in the paleo market, the diet market. Right. And I remember speaking with them, and one of them was on the podcast, but I might bring them back just to talk about this because it's, a bit interesting. They had a list of, if I can recall properly, 200,000 people of their own, which they couldn't convert anything, right? Just horrible conversion rates.
Excuse me, wait, huh? Stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, they told me they had a list of about 200,000 people. Their conversions were horrible, less than 0.5% on anything they offered them. When they did the summit, people started converting.
Oh, okay.
People started converting. And I think they walked away with over $250,000.
I was about to say, dude, with 250,000, you should be getting.
But any offer before that summit that they tried was very, very poorly received. And that's what made me sort of think like, yeah, sometimes they make sense. Sometimes.
Well, it depends on what you're going for. Right.
I think their play was mostly putting themselves in a position as major influencers in the market. The paleo. Right. Yeah.
Right.
And the money was a side effect, which, they were super happy with. But the main goal was like, we have a list of 200,000, which means all the big authors and people we asked to be on the summit, it's a different ask, right? Hey, share this with my list. Hey, I'm going to share this with my 200,000.
Yeah, with my list. Right.
Yeah. So it was a little different, and I think it worked for them. But yours was opposite. It was more of like a list building exercise in a way, right? Starting from zero. You didn't have a list to. That's why it's interesting.
That was the point.
Yeah, that was the point. So it was interesting hearing both scenarios.
Not only was that the point, which, again, I should have walked away with 10 grand on the list had we did it the other way around, right?
Right.
Without throwing more money into it. But the other thing is that I was setting myself up as a influencer in that industry.
Yeah, so a similar goal. What did your offer look like?
The offer was just the recordings at $99.
That's it.
That's it.
It's actually pretty good.
What, as an for an offer?
No, for having that convert so well.
Oh. Okay. I feel you.
Yeah, because you half-assed that offer. That's like something I would do. Like, I would do all this work and just make at the end, like, just here you go. Like, completely being like, I'm giving way too much for this, but it's fine. It's fine.
It's like, but the content was all value for me.
That's what I mean. Like, you could have positioned it in such a way where it'd be, you know, $600-$800. But you're just like, here, $99, just have all the content. You know, we're going Udemy on you guys.
Well, no, I mean, like, the content that I do have will now be repurposed.
Okay, so you're going to make another go at this.
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely it will have a new component to it, and that will be the bonus part. Because it's a very value-added bonus.
Yeah, I can see that. Planning another summit next year to grow this, or different way of growing the business?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be doing more summits as we go along. I've done summits, you know, it's one of the things that I've done very successfully was use the summit model, but only do it for my own training. So the summit model is multiple days, multiple hours in a day, but let it just be me teaching. So we did like these 36 mistakes that you make in your industry. And I would cover 12 of those for each day, you know? And as we went through this, and I really didn't have it all planned out the first time, but this time I will, you know, it's like as day one ended, it was so like charged with the results and the people being very interactive, you know. So this isn't pre-recorded. This is me on live with my audience. And then at the end of the day, I kind of took notes on here's all the stuff we covered, why it was so valuable. And if you miss today, you need to be there tomorrow and it's free again tomorrow, right? And I did that for 3 days. And literally the audience that grew out of that by the end of it were all ready to purchase because they knew the value and what they had missed. And it was very focused, more so than just a bunch of talking heads. But it's the same model.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It's just content over multiple days so that people either have to sit live or have to buy.
But if you're doing it yourself, and I've seen you do them. I think I've seen you do them live, like the promotions you've done before, like in Atlanta, you know, 3 days, workshops. But those, you can't really ask people for their list, so it's all paid ads, correct? Because if you don't have a list, it's all paid ads.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much, but I'm not afraid of paid ads.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Like, we do them all the time, too. I actually, what I found recently, you know, because normally November, the cost goes up, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
For our email subscribers. But we've put on this tool, and there's like different, you know, tools you can use for this. Just a social tool. It's called Evidence. And it shows people who subscribed, you know, 3 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, 15, 20, whatever, right? And our cost went down a lot. Just by putting that tool, in place. So when people go on the opt-in page, which is smartbrandmarketing.com/gifts, they can see who subscribed recently, right? And by seeing that, we've seen the conversions go up and the costs go down a lot. So yeah, I like paid ads too. But what I was getting to is, what tools did you use for this summit, like your stack?
I mean, most of it's in Kartra. I use Kartra, YouTube, what's it called? SoundCloud. What else did I use? That's pretty, I think, and then part of it was Entreport.
Okay.
But I mean, it's either Kartra or Entreport. He was very, in love with Entreport. I'm a Kartra guy, but they kind of cancel each other out. So you just need one of those kind of systems. And I'm trying to think of, you don't want to know what I use to edit the videos.
No, just a stack for actual, lead generation, delivery, just a basic summit stack. What did you use?
There was a tool that we use for scrubbing the email lists. And I cannot remember the damn name of that tool. It'll come to me in a minute.
It'll come to you. Would you recommend doing a partner type thing on these summits, or just do it yourself?
Honestly, I just do it myself.
Next time,
absolutely. Yeah. That was a trial, and it had its good points. I like some of it, and then some of it I just think, without having to make all these decisions in unison, it would have just been easier for me to just go and run. I think one of the things is I didn't stick to my original. I really let some of that go just to be in a partnership.
Yeah, that's what it usually comes down to.
Right. Which, he took a lot of the headroom off of the editing and setting up of the web pages and things like that. So it allowed me to focus and do like the time that I needed to do all the interviews.
Yeah, but you could just hire someone as an employee for that.
Yeah, absolutely. The promise of my team, quote, is
yeah,
always.
Yeah, yeah, not your team. I've seen what your team delivers. I'm saying a real employee.
You are. Shut up.
Oh, man, I still remember looking over your blog site. I was like, man, this.
Gosh, man. I hate blog sites. I still hate blog sites.
Yeah, but some
I
of
love
those,
a landing page, but I hate that.
But some of those articles you had your team write, man, they were priceless. I still have screenshots to show some of my clients. Like, this is what happens. This is what
really?
Happens. Yeah.
Oh, you need to share some of those with me. Because that's funny, because sometimes you just have things that just are so freaking bad you don't want to remember them. So you just delete it all.
Yeah.
And now it would be good to have some of that back. Matter of fact, one of those people that was a hire at that time recently reached out to me and asked me if I had any more work. I'm like, dude, seriously? No.
You're going to write about Eskimos again?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Stupid. But yeah, here's the thing, man. When it comes to the summit model, it is a very lucrative model when done properly.
So I've seen one more example I can think of now. Someone did summit for software as apps company, SaaS, right?
Mm-hmm.
But their model was more of sponsorships, which was a little strange thing, right? Like, I remember he would get some of the best apps on board, right? But then he would, this is kind of like the chicken and egg thing, where he would promise them 40,000 subscribers, but they would have to pay in, and he would use that as the paid ads model, right? So he would use their money to get them those.
To get to the 40,000.
Yeah, to get to the 40,000.
Okay. Yeah.
It was different. It was different. He had a lot of success with it.
I mean, that.
This was before COVID. I don't know how many people are doing it now. But yeah, it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, there's one that's very similar to that model that I'm going after, and I was going to do it before the holiday season, but I'm going to wait till after. And it's really doing that with, you know, some of the e-commerce players and those software guys.
Yeah, because they have a lot of budget, and the only thing they're really looking for is exposure, right? That's the biggest thing. It's the, like, just how many eyeballs can you get on my website?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like, I'm not against summits. That's why I got you on. I'm always a little curious about them, but I just see them, you know. It's like any marketing. I'm seeing just people don't read the room properly, and I'm like, come on.
It's just a model, you know, and different. There's different ways you can cut and slice. What I get the most fun out of is doing the interviews and learning a whole lot from that, for me personally. You know, I learned so much by talking to people like yourself and all the guys that participated.
What'd you learn from doing this summit?
And what do you mean, like
takeaways? Any takeaways? Because I mean, you've actually, you know, pulled it off, which, you know, like, you're gonna run into a lot of things just trying to pull something off. So, the takeaways.
So I mean, one of the takeaways is I learned to love the buying of an audience. I mean, doing the ad spend really was the thing that paid off the most. Those people that came in were even better than some of the people that we had just share with their list, just in general. A lot of people, another thing is, I don't depend on influencers. I don't care how much influence they got. If they are not marketers and have a list that they know how to market to and get people to take action, they won't do it. What they end up doing is they put it on their Twitter, you know, or on their Facebook page. And I mean, those are not an email. You need to send an email and you need to follow up. So one of the things is you got to give them the structure and the framework so that they can just push the button and make it go. That helps, you know. We tried. I guess you've done affiliate stuff before, right?
Yep.
So one of the things is he set this up so that it mimicked what you do with affiliates. So we have a leaderboard, and, you know, here's some giveaways for the top of the leaderboard, things like that. Tell influencers could care less.
I've never looked at it. I know I got an email about it. I was like, go away.
They could care less, right? So, I mean, those things don't necessarily translate just because it's something that, you know, marketers get into and they get very competitive over. Don't think that's going to happen if you do that with your guests. You know, they could care less, just like you.
Yeah, thank you. I have this thought, like, don't start playing games you don't care about winning.
Well, hopefully, you know, you would think there would be enough incentive here, Tom, for you to win. See, I needed to have a really big, chunky watch, and then you would have probably
There was no incentive for me. I was like, I'm just recording it for John, and then go away. Like, I'll share it with my list.
Oh, my gosh, man. But another thing is, too, I'm not good at, you know, I don't want to chase people down. Did you do it? Did you do that? You know, and we were supposed to have a affiliate manager that was supposed to do, but he managed to do nothing. So,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So at any rate, those are the things that another thing was, you know, make it sexy and the pages have to look. I don't think people give two shits about that. They do. I mean, it needs to be decent and everything, but all the money we spent on, you know, bells and whistles was worthless. You know, I don't think that made it convert any less or more based on my conversion rates from other events going in. So I'm not a believer in that, you know. And I think finally, the deeper, the closer you can get to solving a problem for a niche audience, the better. One of the things I think with our event was it was too broad when we just did speakers, you know. Right. That was a little too broad. Either if we could have narrowed it down for beginning speakers, you know, or getting started, that would have been tighter. And it's the same content, but we didn't have it like that. So I think that's what you'll see coming out of this on the other side, is it'll be the same content, but it'll be a more narrow audience. And I'm going to take all the women out and do one just for women. I'm going to take the black people out, do just one for African-American audience. Same shit, but I'm able to narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah, I remember asking you about that in the beginning. I was like, who is this for? And you said, just speakers. Anyone who wants? I was like, so nobody.
Everybody.
Yeah, which means nobody.
Which means nobody.
Yeah, but I remember asking you about that. I was like, I mean, it's fine. But it's such a broad definition, right? And it's like, well, like, so someone that goes to Toastmasters and then someone who's trying to get new gigs, or, you know, just there's so much separation. Like you said, even by, you know, getting the women, the black people out, this is the same thing that network TV does all the time, right? Like, fresh off the boat. Let's do a show for the Asian immigrants. Then they'll have something else, like, was it Blackish or something? Let's have it for the African-American. Then we'll have something like Malcolm in the Middle. Let's have it for the poor white people. You know, like, always, you know, something. That's what they do. And it works by getting the audience, I guess, more involved, or maybe, I don't know, like, it gets their attention more. That makes sense.
And, you know, another thing. Man, I'm just going through this is making me... It's giving me the hives, okay? But another thing was, you know, we were sitting down and my friend, he's really good at creating, you know, copy. And during that exercise of what is their biggest pain point, where can we take them from A to Z, it ended up, instead of, you know, really helping people to build their speaking business, it ended up coming off, and I got this feedback from a couple of them, that we were just trying to get them to make more money. It was the word money was in there way too much.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I've seen that. I was like, well, it seems...
Yeah, speakers aren't there for money.
No, not necessarily. Like I said, there's a lot of different reasons why people do it. Could be influence, could be... putting themselves in the right position for the next step. Like, there's just so many different angles.
Around it. Yeah, so it came off so much as get more gigs and make more money. And for one, everybody knows the stages are small and they're not doing, you know, the same thing during COVID. And it just came off. I think there was a disconnect there.
And still, you managed to convert quite a few people.
Yeah. Because the content was great. Plus, they like me.
Yeah, that's what it says, man. If you're likable and you just throw shit at the wall, some of it will stick.
Shut up. is that one of the rules? You need to give me that rule book.
I'm still writing it.
I need to put that on the wall.
I'm still writing it.
You're still writing
it. Yeah, let me ask you this. You mentioned the paid traffic was actually better. Did you track this properly? Do you know, like, the percentage of people who came off list? How they converted, and then people, what those numbers look like?
Well, I don't have those numbers in front of me.
Well, sort of. I mean, you kind of know, right? Like, maybe the paid traffic converted 20-30% better. Like, you kind of know.
So okay. here's the interesting thing. And see, sometimes you don't want to give away all the secrets, right? So, but here is one of the things. I'll give you the secret, all right, is that we had somebody come on the event that was from India, right? And he was a pretty big deal in India. So all of a sudden, I started running paid ads to India. I had no idea how cheap paid ads to India are, like 30% cheaper, or about 30% of the cost of a US.
Yeah.
Right? So to get somebody to convert was a whole hell of a lot cheaper to get them on the event. But of course, once you get them on the event, the number of those that will purchase is a lot lower as well.
Yeah.
But the balance between those two, if properly optimized, can really, really up your game. And that was something that worked very well for me.
So here's what I tell my clients, because we use India very strategically too. India has a bit of a different culture, which means they like clicking on things much more than the West, right? So if you're first starting to run an ad, if you want to get your engagement up a lot, quickly and cheaply, I'm talking about a couple cents a piece sometimes, you run it through India. You'll get your 50-100 likes immediately. Now, with conversions, they are more of a Udemy market, which means $99, it's fine. But if you're starting to go $200-$300, India will start pushing back, being like, can you give me a deal on this? Or how can I hack this to get in? So it's good for engagement and it's good for sales only if you're selling at Walmart pricing.
Well, that sounds like about right where we were then.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why yours was still fine. If you're going Nordstrom pricing, you're going to have a lot of problems. So you would want to exclude India after you get your engagement because they won't convert. Right. So it's just, you know, depends how you use that culture to get your ads up. But, you know, with Walmart pricing, all day.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. So we were throwing so much at the wall for them. It worked out. Yeah.
It worked out. Yeah. Because they're very engaged. They're a great culture for, you know, they want to learn. They want to see new things. They want to click on things. They are. But the economy is not even close to the West, which means, you know, $99, that's, you know, think about $990 for you. That's that type of, you know, thought. So.
And see, that's where when I said the back end fell apart, you know, we were going through a $5,000 to a $25,000 offer. And I'm like, yo, we don't have the audience that's going to do a great job for us here.
No, I've had someone trying to pull off something similar, in the chiropractor niche. And it's not that the people didn't have money, but he tried to move him from $90 to a $4,000 close immediately, right? And it's like, yeah, there's a bit of a disconnect. You're kind of pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what you got to just think about retooling and getting back to the starting gates. And that's where I'm at.
That's where you're at.
It'll pay off.
No, I mean, I like what you've done. That's why I'm curious. What do you think about next year, you know, for the whole marketing and business world?
You know, dude, I mean, you're not here. So I'll tell you what here is like. Here is like a ticking time bomb. We've got 2 weeks till election day, and I don't know what the days after election are going to look like. And that's really going to determine how Christmas pans out.
Yeah.
And Christmas will determine how we move into, you know, first quarter of next year. And I don't think, you know, at least for us, the Americas don't seem like it's going to get rid of this corona thing until at the earliest of mid next year, second quarter, third quarter.
I don't think it's just America. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of friends in Europe, and it's getting really, really bad as well. Well, the reason I'm asking is, like, yeah, I get we have an election coming, but seriously, does either party have a real plan for next year?
No, that's not the problem. The problem, I think, is whether you're going to have, I mean, how much anarchy is going to happen after this election?
If it's cold enough, not much.
I hope so. You know what? I love that thought. I think you're absolutely bring about a good perspective about the weather pulling people on the inside. But then once we go into the inside, of course, we're going to have more spread. And there's a lot of craziness that's on the horizon possibly for this fourth quarter. And a lot of our financial aid starts running out or has started running out. And I think we're going to see that play out in the fourth quarter, too, where people are not going to be able to put food on the table and roofs over their heads. And I think we're going to see that on a larger scale than we're seeing it currently. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of headwinds. It's hard for me to do what I normally do as an influencer in the e-com thing, you know. People are asking me, what do you think about fourth quarter? What do you think about next year? And I'm like, you know what? I can't tell you. I'm for the first time ever, I'm just like, man, shit. I want to just get through this shit.
It's going to be difficult. Like, I see, you know, Walmart pricing, B2C, will be a win because, you know, less money. B2B, always good, but you're going to see a lot more clients, if you're in B2B, looking at you as a lottery ticket or a Hail Mary because they haven't done anything, you know, and then be like, hey, can you? And like, no. At this point, no, I cannot.
They want to bring you on to save their business.
Yeah, which you'll see a lot more of that. With our clientele, we're seeing, and this is the great thing about the global economy, much more people with money coming in from Europe, from richer places in Asia. Less. America is a bit less.
Asia's taking over, man.
Asia is taking over. Yeah, so we're not seeing much of a difference in our business. We just changed kind of who we take on from which regions, right? But America, I'm seeing, like, is a bit down overall economically, and that's why I wonder,
I think that's just, you know, people are antsy right now and don't know. They're holding on. They're just holding on to their capital. It didn't dry up.
Oh, yeah, it definitely didn't dry up. Yeah, it's all at Robinhood and crypto.
Yeah. Don't get me started on Robinhood.
Oh, man.
That's become a problem in my house.
That's a game that you...
It is a game.
Yeah, that you sometimes maybe don't want to play because you don't know what you're doing. I don't know. Like,
it's a buying game for me, but yeah.
The one thing in the stock market that's gotten me a little bit excited is that Airbnb IPO.
Really?
A little bit. A little bit. You know, they have some issues, but they also have a big moat, which is, I don't know, 7 million listings and customers. It's an interesting thing, man. Like, I think
it's an interesting thing. And it's a worldwide business.
Yeah, like if I think they can pull out of, they have way less expenses than any hotels because they don't really maintain anything other than the app, you know, and some customer service. But that's the one that, you know, with the stock market, I'm kind of looking at it, and I think they said December is when they're going to hit with the IPO. So I'm like, that could be a little play.
You're going to play a little bit?
Yeah, not with Robinhood, though.
Oh, what's the difference?
So I've had a couple of incidents where Robinhood would not let me switch positions, sell or buy, for like a whole day.
I've heard that.
And that's not unacceptable for me. Like, you know, if I got to get rid of something, it's not.
It needs to be instant because I'm trying to get out. I feel you on that. I've heard that. But like I said, I'm a buy and hold kind of guy.
Buy and hold, yeah.
I don't move around very much.
Man, so you're playing the game too. That's good.
To some degree, you know, it's all with, you know, gambling money. I won't play with house money.
Well, yeah.
My house.
Yeah.
But other people have tried. I'm like, y'all crazy. I'm not the one. You got to be careful.
Well, I like the ones who start playing with options without even knowing what really stocks are.
Not touching it, bro.
So since you have no clue about what's going to happen in the next quarter, the first quarter of the year, like, what are the plans for the business, for your business? Because you still have to have a strategy, right? Is it just hold?
Absolutely.
And wait?
No, I mean, you know, with us, I mean, it is the time. Normally this time of year, we're really ramping up for fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And what happened was really fourth quarter started yesterday or last week, really. and I'm sorry, not fourth quarter, but holiday shopping started last week. And normally that wouldn't start until after, you know, closer to mid-November with Black Friday. But literally Black Friday started last week with Amazon doing their Prime Day last week. And other retailers are moving forward their Black Friday because they know they can't do doorbusters, right, because of the COVID. So they're not going to be able to pack their stores. So they're starting their holiday spend now, and definitely the first week of November, a lot of them, you'll start seeing the whole month of November being Black Friday specials. So what that has done for us in the e-commerce spot, or at least me and my business, is we are now ramping or already ramped up for our Christmas time. And what I'm doing is straight up optimizing things that I never would touch in the fourth quarter before. Fourth quarter used to be like a freeze. It's like no changes, no messing around. Let's get this money, right? And it's only for these 3-4 weeks. But now that it's going to be 6-8 weeks of, you know, spend, I'm going to constantly get time to optimize. I get to see what's happening right now, you know, first week of November, second week of November, make changes for third, fourth week of November, make changes for the first two, you know, the big 2 weeks of spend in December, those kind of things. So I'm excited about that. I think that's what people should be doing now.
What sort of changes?
I mean, you just in terms of if I know things are starting to move, I can actually re-up and start putting money into ad campaigns for that for a longer period of time.
Gotcha.
You know, whereas before, I could see something move on Cyber Monday, you know, and okay, I got 2 weeks maybe until what they call Green Monday, which is the biggest spend day online. What, you know, what used to be the biggest spend day online for eBay. That's where that came from.
Right.
But and that was always the Monday before Christmas. Right.
Mm.
So or not the Monday, the week before Christmas, because you have that entire week to get that item to that person. So if it was on, if Christmas fell on a Sunday, it would be even further up the chain. But the deal was I couldn't make a whole lot of changes in that 3-week period.
Right.
It wouldn't burn in very fast. But now we'll be able to see that happen because I don't think we're going to get the Cyber Monday, Black Friday rush that we got or that we normally will get. We'll get some of that, but I think some of that's probably front loaded. That's why Amazon had such a big, you know, Prime Day.
I think
a lot of people have been sitting on their money all summer. And then another thing that's happening here in the U.S. is the COVID is making it so people don't want to travel. And they're kind of getting, you know, giving warning signs about even having Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, if you literally cancel Thanksgiving dinner, what does that mean for Christmas? Shit. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and if I don't have the, you know, I don't have my extended family coming over, I don't have to buy those gifts.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, if you don't really have Christmas parties at work, Christmas parties and, yeah, you know, like all these things where you just exchange gifts, well, I don't really need them this year.
Yeah. And not only that, they don't want to spend that money because we might need it for other things.
That's true, because the stimulus talks have been, I wouldn't say interesting, like they just, I don't know, it's just weird.
The thing is, you know, it's all political.
It is, but it shouldn't be. That's the thing, it shouldn't be. It should be more about the people. It's not.
The
at all.
People.
Yeah.
Look, the people. Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, I know, but it should be, right?
It should be. It should be, man, but they don't care. Shit.
I can see that now, because it's blatant. It's so blatant. Like, you can't even, you know, either party, none of them, like, you just can't can ignore it. Like, they just don't care at all. Which means Christmas might be very, very difficult for a lot of families. So
I'll tell you what, it's going to be difficult to figure out.
Yeah. I've seen a chart come out maybe a week and a half ago. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think like 20 or 30% of the people did not pay their rent or mortgage payments.
Right.
It was a pretty huge number. And
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that itself, I mean, if that's not a warning sign.
But you know what? I heard that. And they said nationwide for rent, I can't remember the number, but let's say it was 20%. Then the deal was, it was like 17% before that, the year before. Right. So that means we only swung up 3%.
So not too bad.
That's not necessarily true, though. See, because I figured it out. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound too bad. But then they said, well, they said nationwide. See, that, dude, the most of the nation is not New York City or L.A.
Yeah.
Right? So you use these two huge, huge areas with a lot of people, and it gets kind of softened by everybody in the center. So I think we're going to have some issues in some of these major cities.
Yeah, like what I remember from the graph, it was just like a hockey stick, right? Like normally you want to see that in a startup, but you don't want to see it in non-payment for rent and mortgages. Like it's just it didn't look, you know, look healthy.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. And once you start kicking people out,
phew. Yep. So on that positive note, let's finish up the podcast.
You're just going to cut this part out, bro.
I'm not. Tell people where they can find you.
Colder Ice, Colderice. Put that in your Google or any other search engine, and I will show up on all of the social platforms.
Done.